Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing and growing people.
As many of you will know by now, having been here for 4.5 years or so, I do love language, love words. I love the history of words or etymology. I don't know the etymology of etymology. That's strange, isn't it? Anyway, I do love words and language. But increasingly, as I've said before, language and words are changing. And there are discrepancies, shall we say, differences of how we each individually use words. Do you turn me down just a slightly? Thank you. And it's this, I think, this change of language or sort of difference in language that causes so much division in our current time, our current culture. And it is with words that we often find offence is taken or we take offence. There is now such thing as hate speech, where the words that you use can get you into legal trouble. But sometimes the words that are used that get you into trouble have different meanings. No more so, I think, than a really important word, which surely no one can be offended by, and surely no one can be in any misunderstanding as to what the word means. Because we all know what it means, right? We all know what the word love means. God is love. We all know what love is, therefore we all know what God is like, and therefore if people don't believe in that God, then they don't believe in love, and suddenly words begin to crumble. What do we mean by love? It is such a profound experience that we have. 2 weeks ago, thanks be to God, I made a commitment to Philippa because we love each other. What do we mean by that? Do I love Philippa now as much as I possibly can? No. Am I going to learn more about love as I go? Yes. Therefore, do I know what love is? Well, sort of vaguely. It's sort of a mixture of emotion. But what is love? And what is liking? What is lusting? What is good desire? What is maybe unhelpful desire? These things all get muddled. And so maybe love isn't as clear as we think it is. Not just love. Justice. What do we mean by justice? When we demand justice, what do we mean when we demand that? Fairness, equality. What do we mean by these things? And before we think, oh, this is all new, this is all a sort of postmodern subjectivity which has never been seen in the world before, I don't think that's the case. I think every generation, every culture has this wrestle over language. It changes the meanings of words and goes back to original meanings, takes new meanings, etc. And I say that because in our gospel reading there is a source of encouragement for us as we maybe inadvertently offend people with the words that we choose to use or how we choose to describe something or explain something. Or understand something. Jesus comes into Nazareth, his hometown, surely a place where they share the same language. They're family, you know, they know the common references. They know what words mean because they've all agreed in their little community. Oh yeah, when you say that, you're making a reference to that historical thing that we all know about. And surely they all should understand him. And he comes in, and he starts, no doubt, explaining the kingdom of God and using the language that he has, the language that they must have understood. And yet, here in the scriptures it says, they took offense at him. I wonder what he said. Surely no one can be offended by the kingdom of God. You know, the command to love other people. Surely that everyone can agree that we should just love each other and get on with each other, right? So how could they have taken offense? And surely justice and restoration and healing, all these are positive words, right? How could they have taken offense at him? But here it is, they do. They take offense, maybe not at the words he uses, but in the manner in which he says them. Maybe a manner which he didn't intend. Maybe they projected onto Jesus a whole load of their baggage, a whole load of their own fears and uncertainties and low self-esteem, and feel like maybe he's judging them. Maybe Jesus is just a judgmental religious hypocrite. That's what they think, perhaps. I wonder if you have ever had offense taken. That you've said something very well-meaning and the person responds really strongly and negatively to you. Maybe you intended to do something out of love and the person has taken offense. How dare you treat me like this? What, do you think I'm a child? You know, why have you done this? What do you imagine this is? That surprise. I wonder if you've ever experienced that. Where you've felt the chasm. Suddenly you're separate from this person. You're divided from that person. That there's this gulf of going, what? What's going on? I don't understand. We've all, no doubt, experienced that in some way or another. It's encouraging to know, is it not, that Jesus has experienced that too. That he goes in love and there's offense taken at him. Jesus remains very calm and says, actually, it's the people that think they know you that probably will take the most offense, because they expected Jesus to be one of them, you know, to not say anything that shocked them. That chasm is most painful when it's someone that we trust, that we're someone we feel close to, that we suddenly feel so isolated and lonely. That we say something to the person that we love the most, we cherish the most, that we care for the most. And it's at that point when they say, how dare you say that? That really hurt me. That chasm feels so large. Jesus experiences this with us. And then he leaves. He goes around the neighboring villages. And again, he teaches. And he sends his disciples out to teach them. I wonder, as you think about Peter, perhaps today, and the other disciples, they've watched and witnessed him experience this Nazareth moment where he gets up and says very exciting things. They must have been excited about the gospel. These loving things, these great world-changing things. Suddenly, yes, humanity and the world is going to be put right. This is how we were created to be. This is good news. And they've seen Jesus proclaim it. And the response? Offense. Negative. Accusation. I wonder if the disciples felt a little nervous about being sent out. Just go and do what I've done. Just go and proclaim the message that I've proclaimed. What, and face the same criticism? The same trolling? The same negative press? The defamation of character? The challenges to your state of mind? No, thank you. I'd rather not. I wonder if you have ever felt that when called to go out and to proclaim the good news, you kind of think, I'd rather not, because people tend to not really understand it, so I don't really want to get involved in all of that. I don't want people to be offended, and so I best just stay quiet, because I don't want to cause offense. It is the surest way to not create offense, is to just say nothing, is to not engage. The problem with that is the chasm still remains and you feel more and more isolated and lonely because you don't talk to anyone. You don't say anything out of fear that you might cause offence. Jesus sends his disciples out, and there's an expectation of offence being taken because people misunderstand. People either deliberately or accidentally take words out of context or assume that you think certain things or feel certain things. This is the expectation of discipleship. And the disciples are sent out with the authority of Jesus. Authority is another thing, again, to do with language. The way in which you interpret words, the way in which you interpret the world, is all based on certain authorities, people that you have trusted, people who have told you how the world is, and you have believed in them and in their authority. It might be a single person, it might be a parent or a teacher perhaps, or it might be in a more general institution, philosophical thought, an ideology perhaps. All of these things impress authority. The people that we trust, the people that we go to help us interpret the world. Because the world is complicated and we need help to interpret it. And there's authorities over communities and societies, sometimes hidden authorities, people who shape and inform. I wonder what authority you are listening to. I wonder who you turn to help you interpret the world, to interpret words and language, to interpret the interactions of people that you have day to day. It's worth reflecting on that. It's worth thinking about. Who do you listen to? You listen to maybe the news, a particular brand of broadcaster. Maybe you listen to particular individuals. Maybe celebrities, maybe a member of your family. It's worth just checking who your authority is. These disciples are sent out in fear of, you know, being misunderstood. And they are given the authority of Jesus. What that means is that Jesus says to them, I'm telling you how the world is. I'm telling you this is what this word means. It is through Jesus and his example that the world makes sense, or it should do for us. That Jesus is our authority. He is the author, the starting point. The pioneer. He is the first port of call. When we want to know how to interpret the world, we go to Jesus. When we want to interpret a situation, maybe when we have taken offense, maybe where this chasm has appeared, we go to Jesus. And we ask, Jesus, what is this? What is going on here? And his authority is over unclean spirits. I don't want to go into demonology and what he means by unclean spirits, but there are things in this world which makes us feel uncertain, uneasy. And it's usually in those chasm moments where we're suddenly baffled by the world, where suddenly something happens, where we are just, we feel so heavy and dark and as I say, baffled. At those moments, if we can claim the authority of Jesus, pray for his peace, we can stand in those moments and ask ourselves, what has just happened? What words have been used? How might we cross this chasm and meet with the person that we are interlocking with? Maybe it's this person that we're faced with where we think we might even claim that they are demon-possessed. Where they're just acting so bizarrely, so weirdly. It is at that point we just pray the peace of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, and go, what is happening? Where is the root of this? When offense is taken, it is safe to pause, to ask for the authority of Jesus. Go to him, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And we follow in his footsteps to seek to use the words that he used in the manner in which he used them, to do the things he did with the intention that he did them. And we do it because that is the perfection of our faith. That is what we're aiming for. That is where we start, and it is where we end. He is our Alpha and he is our Omega. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to invite us just to respond. So I invite you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about your place in the world, the experiences that you've had this week. Maybe there has been some difficulty, some division in your life. Maybe a conflict, either internal to you, an inner conflict, maybe a conflict with someone else. In the bafflement of that situation, of all the things that were at play, the words that were spoken, the assumptions that were made, I want you just to place yourself in your imagination back into that moment. See that person or experience those feelings once more. I'm going to invite Jesus to step into that situation. For his Spirit to descend upon you now, to bring you peace, to allow you to breathe, to know you're loved by him. He is trustworthy and faithful. Come, Holy Spirit. Ease. Bring peace. And in this safe place, where it's you and Jesus, reflect back on that moment, that experience. Maybe you're still living through it. Maybe those things are still bubbling through your being. Ask God, what is going on? What is at the root of this? Where does it begin? Lord Jesus, you are the beginning of all things. You are the author of our faith. Come and start a new story. Redeem the old. Help us to navigate complexities of life, difficulties, where offense has been taken and we have been divided from other people by words that have been spoken or not spoken, the misuse of language or the confusion over language. Lord, we pray that you would restore us and bring unity of heart and mind, of understanding. May we see in you, Jesus, perfection of humanity and of our faith. Come into all of these situations, Lord. Heal and restore. Clear the muddiness and the mess. That your peace may reign, your glory shine out, that you would use us to be people of reconciliation. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Continue in a